أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، صاحب العصر والزمان، خليفة الرحمن، إمام الإنس والجان، ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The privilege of faith has been our ongoing topic. Tonight is lecture number 13, alhamdulillah. Our discussion has been revolving around the base that the faith that has been given to us by our parents and by our communities should be treated as a privilege. And that privilege should equate to certainty and yaqeen enough that no matter how much of a force the enemy brings towards you, all of us actually, we should not move from where we are. And the reality is that right now the effects of the enemy, the plan of the enemy to dismantle the Shia ideology is working to some extent. Our youth are a little bit shaken by this movement, and so it's important to revisit, reaffirm, reconfirm, strengthen those basic principles of our ideology that a lot of us have understood since we were kids. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the idea that the privilege of faith only happens when you understand the benefits of that faith. And the classic question, why do I need Islam? Why do I have to believe in Islam? Is one that has to be addressed to a certain extent. Only then can we start to move towards the idea that what I have in my treasure is really worthy of being a privilege. If we don't understand why I have what I have or the benefits of what I have, then I can sit up here and talk about privilege all I want, but it's not going to affect anybody whatsoever. So we talked yesterday about the idea of a worldview, a jahanbini. And we talked about the fact that the faith and the deen brings about a correct worldview, which essentially affects our thought, which leads to the chain of amal and action. Salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Sorry, can we just come a little bit in the middle if you don't mind? There's lots of green space everywhere. I don't like that, please. Let's come, you know, knee to heart, please. Nice and tight. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Thank you. Today's discussion, I want to start off with a premise, a statement. And the statement is that the human being detests limits. Okay. We are individuals that don't like limits. If we had a choice, we wouldn't accept limits. And because of that statement, we in turn accept a default statement, which is that because we don't accept limits, we are in search of the unlimited. That's our statement. That because we as human beings, innately now, remember yesterday I used innately and fitri as translations of each other, correct? That inside the innate nature, inside the fitrat of any insan, be it Muslim or non-Muslim, we don't like limits. Okay? So everything as small as unlimited data on our phones sounds great. Right? Unlimited mileage from the rental car sounds great. All you can eat sounds amazing. Right? All this idea of there not being any limits, going down the 285 freeway and there not being a speed limit. You can drive as fast as you want. Right? That would really excite us. We're not individuals who accept limits, nor do we prefer limits, which means that innately we are searching for that thing that is unlimited. Okay, that's the statement. Now, the question is, how can we define what the unlimited is? And the problem is that those who don't have faith, they search for the unlimited in this limited world. This world of physics, this world of matter, they search for the unlimited here, and they incorrectly assign the unlimited to those things that are very much limited. Such that when they actually accept and they attain their version of the unlimited, they're still not fulfilled. So they think, for example, the idea is that I want unlimited amount of money. Right? So we have some athletes, for example, that have contracts with shoe companies that are a lifetime contract. That so long as you are alive and so long as you wear our brand, we'll pay you for the rest of your life. Whether you dribble a ball or whether you hit a baseball or you throw a football, it doesn't matter. You are a lifer when it comes to us. And to them, without faith now, they believe that's it. I've struck gold. That is the unlimited. Until they actually attain that, and then as I mentioned yesterday, we can see those individuals who live an entire life of making everything that this dunya has to offer, anything you want, from vacations to homes to properties to money to fame to fortune, anything this dunya has to offer, they have accepted everything. And yet still somehow at the later stage of their life, when they realize that there are gaping holes inside their life, they resort to those things that don't make sense to us. Like alcohol, like casinos, like, I don't know, dog fighting, like womenizing. And eventually they end up destroying their very image because they have incorrectly identified the unlimited. Right? And faith comes along and says, wait a second now, you're searching for the unlimited in a very, very limited world. This is a world of matter. It's a maddi world. And the basic concept of matter is that anything you can touch or smell or see with your physical eyes is limited. It's limited. If these eyes can see it, they're limited to that space alone. Anything that's defined by space and time is limited. And this world is all about space and time. One of the reasons why it's called Asfala Safilin, the lowest of the low, is because there are so many veils in front of this potentially great insan that this is the lowest of the worlds. That's why when we talk about death, we call death intiqal, a transfer from one world to a better world actually. Which is why many of those individuals who are the high level ulama, they don't quite understand fear of death. Why would you fear a promotion? You're leaving this limited, veiled world to one that has no veils now. Now, granted, we're afraid of our own amal and our own punishment, blah, blah, blah. Yes, that's there. But we don't quite understand that this world is not a world to attach ourselves to. Anyways, that's why when you look at Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, describing this very basic concept, he holds up a piece of matter. Now, some say it was, you know, a rock, or some say it was something that was physical. And he says to his companions that this is a physical structure. That the reason why we don't believe in Allah to have a jism, or time, or a place, it's because it's impossible for this one thing to be here and here at the exact same time. It can't be. If it's here, it can't be here. If it's here, it can't be here. It's limited to that small space around it. Basic logic. We cannot believe in an Allah that's limited by space. So hatta even on the day of judgment, with some of our Sunni brothers, our Wahhabi individuals believe that we will see Allah with our physical eyes. When we talk about the yad of Allah, the hand of Allah, it's a physical hand of Allah. That's shirk. Even in the day of judgment, we will not be able to see Allah. Allah is not matter. So we know that no matter what this world presents itself to all of you, this is not a world to find the unlimited. In fact, there are limits everywhere you go. You can fool yourself to think this is what I want. With this, I'll have an unlimited amount of sukoon itminan. If I just get this amount of money, if I hit this bracket of income, I'm good, I'm set, no worries, no issues whatsoever. Until we actually reach that bracket. And along with that bracket comes 1,000 more issues and problems. And those of you who are successful, you can probably attest to this. So the limited nature belongs in this world. So we understand now that the limited nature is in the physical world. The unlimited has to be in the metaphysical world. Okay? So the innate search that we have for the unlimited cannot be found in this world. It's impossible. Okay? Now, we can ignore that and say, fine, I'm okay with whatever I have. I have a physical structure of a house, a very nice house, mashallah, beautiful car, that's fine. But this gaping hole that's screaming unlimited, unlimited, unlimited goes unanswered. And eventually that's going to catch up to all of us. That's why we find individuals, like I said, who have everything they have in this world, but yet somehow search for something to fill that gaping hole. So the unlimited is outside of this world. It's metaphysical, which brings about a whole different discussion altogether. Something that we cannot taste or touch or smell or see is something that is unlimited. But remember, our innate nature is what? That because we don't accept limits, we innately search for the unlimited. And that unlimited is in the metaphysical world. Okay? Now, faith comes along and defines for us what the unlimited and who the unlimited is. And describes to us a creator that is himself unlimited, himself self-existing, himself not chained or attached to a creator. Okay? So we talk about the idea that he is wajibul wujud in philosophy. He is a necessary existence to give life to every other existence. Terms that you guys should know now, like the back of your hand, inshallah. Okay? So all of this is there now. Now what ends up happening, please follow very carefully. The problem is that we can't live without limits, but yet we detest limits. We can't live without limits, and yet we detest limits. So comes the challenge. This is a challenge now. The challenge is when somebody presents to us a limit, we have to look at who's presenting that limit to us. And we accept or deny wholeheartedly, depending on the source of the person who's giving us the limits. If the source itself is limited, we reject those limits. If the source is unlimited in nature, we accept those limits. The problem with the deen sometimes is this. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let me rephrase that. The problem with following, the problem that those who follow the deen have, let's say that better. The deen has no problems. But those who follow the deen, like me, for example, where we get stuck is, why is it that the deen is so negative, Asad Bhai? Why does it seem like everything is either haram or najayz? You can't eat this, you can't drink this, you can't go there, you can't love this person, you can't do anything. Just a lot of circles with a cross in the middle of it. That's all we get from the deen. The deen is no fun, the deen is buzzkill, blah, 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 all these things. Why? And the problem is that we don't want to accept limits. We want an azadi at the hayvan level, at the animal level. I want to be able to do whatever I want to do. I don't want any accountability, anyone to ask me why, what, who, what, where. That's why this society is telling my youth today to let your nafs be your God. Whatever your nafs want, say labbaik. Just say whatever you want. So if someone comes along and says, you can't eat this, you answer, how dare you tell me that I can't eat something. If someone says, you know, cover yourself, how dare you tell me to cover myself? If someone says, you can't love and marry this person, how dare they tell you that you can't marry and love this person? And sometimes some of our youth are buying into it. Yeah, they're right. Why can't I live the way I want to live? And they're looking for an azadi that is at the animalistic level, animalistic freedom, which is really the destruction of the humankind. You take yourself and you lower yourself to an animal. Simply instinctive. When I'm hungry, I want to eat. When I'm tired, I want to sleep. Right? When I am, you know, angry, I want to attack. I don't want limits. I don't want pabandiya. I don't want this kind of stuff. It's not good for me. I don't want it. What we don't realize is the source of the limits is coming from the unlimited. And if the source is coming from the unlimited, he doesn't need our limits. Do we understand that? The limits that he sets from us is not for him. It's for us. He's already unlimited. He doesn't want limits, doesn't wish to attract limits, but he wishes to place limits on his creation. Because he realizes what? That without limits, you'll end up being lower than animals. Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam. Very famous, very powerful tradition. Sometimes we hear these things in one ear, out the other. He says that the human being can travel between two realities. One is higher than angels, one is lower than animals. Higher than angels is that idea that Allah has given you everything, an aql, shahwa, ghadab, waham, all these powers, and you use your aql to govern the powers inside of you. I mean, the moment that you are angry or you desire something, you answer, you call Mr. Aql, say, Mr. Aql, what do I do? If you do that, you live your life like that, you are higher than angels, because angels don't have that sense of the aql. But if you are somebody who allows your aql to be controlled by your desires, not that you're an animal, he says you're worse than an animal. Because the animals were never given aql to begin with. You've been given that aql and you decide to shut it off. And anyone who wishes to live a life without limits is turning off the aql inside of them. And Allah, being the unlimited, realizes that. So let's go back to our statement. Our statement is that we detest limits, we search for the unlimited. The only reason why we search and accept limits is if those limits come from the unlimited. Because those limits are not needed by him. That's why in Khutbah Muttaqeen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to Hammam, whatever comes down from Allah is not for him. It's for you. Whatever he's made wajib for you and haram for you has nothing to do with him. His kingdom is unaffected by our actions. Why does Allah need our namaz? He asked me. Allah doesn't need anything from us. Zero. If tomorrow we all decide to leave the path, he'll be fine. If we all decide to jump on board Islam, he'll be fine. He's azal, he's abad. He was always there, he will always be there. He says, in fact, anything that comes down from Allah is for our benefit. Any limit from the unlimited, we accept right away. We know there's wisdom behind that. So inside, what the deen and what faith brings about is a proper sense of the unlimited. A correct, aqli, innate, fitri level of the unlimited. The moment that the faith is, this is your unlimited, step number two is accept whatever limits come from that unlimited. So if that unlimited says, this is haram, you say, labbaik. This is wajib, you say, labbaik. We're not going to play around with that because it's coming from a source that doesn't need our worship and he has our best interest in mind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, this idea that sometimes I don't understand why he places limits on us, because essentially that's the biggest issue I think that today's youth have. Is why can't I do 1, 2, and 3? Why are there limits placed on me? And sometimes we don't understand. Keeping in mind that this notion that whatever comes down from Allah is for our benefit, more importantly, at that moment you are to submit to Allah. The other thing that a lot of our youth ask us today is that, does the deen not ask us for blind faith, Mawlana? Blind faith. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. Is that not blind faith? That's not blind faith. Remember, you're entering understanding of Tawheed based on the aql. Okay, let's get this point straight right now. You understand there's one God, unlimited God, self-serving and self-existing God with the aql. Nobody in this room should believe in God because Baba and Dada said so. Nobody should believe in Allah because your marja says so. Taqleed is only for the furu of the deen. It's haram for the usul of the deen. There's a reason for that. That has to make sense at the logical level. And there's too many proofs out there for you to deny Allah. In fact, it's harder to reject Allah than it is to deny, to accept Allah. It's harder to disprove God than to prove God. So once you've accepted the fact that, yes, Asabai, in my logic, intellect, God makes sense, then whatever comes down from Allah, that's enough for us. It should be enough that Allah has made this wajib on me for me to follow. Whether or not it makes sense to you is irrelevant and not a prerequisite for you to follow. I mentioned this several times. In akhlaq, there's two types of ignorance. Okay? And I say this with a lot of respect. Jahl muraqab, jahl basit. Okay? Jahl muraqab, muraqab in Farsi, I think in Urdu too, means a compound. Okay? A compound. Okay? Jahl muraqab means that you take your jahl, our ignorance, and you combine it with something else, it becomes a compound. I'll explain that in a moment. Jahl basit is open jahl, ignorance. You asked me to, for example, have open heart surgery, I say, look, I'm not a surgeon. I have no idea what to do. That's my ignorance. I accept that. But jahl al-muraqab is something else. And please follow me very carefully. Jahl al-muraqab is the idea where you have ignorance with a little bit of ego. Okay? There's a little bit of ego, and there is ignorance for sure there, but the ego comes and says, okay, Mr. Ignorance, come with me. Let's go somewhere together. Now that individual sitting there in front of an alim or a doctor or a lawyer or even a mechanic has no idea how to even check his oil, forget, change anything else. Has no idea how the body works, forget actually prescribe his own medication. But he's there and he knows his ignorance, but beside him, bachara, is Mr. Ego. So now they together are going to see the doctor. I say, look, doctor, these are my symptoms. What do you think? Well, I think this is what's going on. This is your medication. And he's, okay, that's fine. That makes sense. And then Mr. Ego jumps and says, wait a second, doctor. What about this? What about that? What WebMD says this, mashallah. Google.com says this. I Googled my symptoms. It says I have cancer. You don't have cancer. You just need some Tylenol. You'll be fine. Or you come and you sit in front of an alim and you what about this? And you give an answer and the person accepts it. But Mr. Eagle says, oh, wait a second. What about this book and that book and this book and that book? It has to be this. No, there's no other way but this. And now this ignorance with the ego doesn't allow you to move forward. Doesn't allow you to move forward until you're convinced. Okay? And that's a big bimari across the board that we have in our communities. Okay? We just cannot accept the fact that I don't know. And Imam Ali says that there is victory and success and bulandi, elevation in the man that says, I don't know. Now, when it comes to today's youth, and I love all of you, you know that very much so. There is a little bit of that exists today. Convince me why I'm doing it, and I'll think about doing it. Tell me why I'm doing it, I'll think about doing it. Yeah, but only goes so far. At 3 o'clock in the morning, your yeah buts run out, right? So there is ignorance, no doubt. We don't know, no doubt. Why do we do this? What about Maraji? What about Imam Zamana? How can he live for 1,000+ years? Blah, 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 this and that. You explain everything. After a while, Mr. Eagle says, yeah, but ask him, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And then after all of that, your throat is dry, your dalail have run out, everything is gone. Then a 15-year-old says to me, I'll think about it, I'll let you know what I decide. That's when you find a wall and just right into the wall. Because it should be enough for not only the 15-year-old, but anybody, that if it has come down from Allah, the unlimited, I accept. If I don't understand why it's wajib, that's not a prerequisite for me to do it. If Allah later on opens the door of yaqeen and knowledge and ma'rifah, that's His grace. But it's enough for us to know that my unlimited places limit on me, and that's enough for me to follow. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Understand the power of limits inside the deen. The limit is there for you to grow. The limit is there for you to maintain the azamat of you being the insan. The limit is there for you to be able now to recognize the unlimited. If you reject those limits one by one, you're slowly fading the unlimited inside of you as well. And let's be very careful with that. It's vital that we understand the faith brings about a perfect package for us to live our life on. The second point I want to make, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I have 2 minutes. 3 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. I have 5 minutes. So, inshallah, that makes it. If it does not make sense, come and see me. Point number two that I want to make is that the beauty and the benefits of faith, while there are so many, one of them is that the faith allows us to understand us as the individual. Okay? من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Very famous hadith. The one who knows himself knows his Lord. What's that connection? When we understand the greatness of our Lord, we understand the lowliness of ourselves. We understand the potential of the Khaliq, we automatically understand our station as the makhluk. And the moment that we understand that I am in need, that's our bulandi. Understand that for a moment. Imam Ali says, there's no bigger sense of pride for me, the fact that I am your abd al-Allah. I am your slave, Allah. Of all the things and all the fadal that Amir al-Mu'minin could have had in his life, he could have said anything. The biggest fadilat for him himself is, I chose you to enslave myself to. Because I understand that, you know what, I am the slave and he is the master. The master is so great that the master will look after the slave. I mentioned this point inside the first Ashur and Muharram last year, that in every other master-slave relationship, the master benefits from the work of the slave, correct? The more the slave works, the better the master is, right? If the slave one day decides to take a day off, the master is messed up. The slave works hard, the master sits there and reaps the benefits. And everything else, except for one relationship. In one relationship, the more the slave works, the better the slave gets. And the higher the slave gets. Why? Because you're working for a master that's unlimited and not in need of anything that we do. So does it not make sense for us? Because we know that we have to enslave ourselves to somebody. This false notion that a freedom doesn't exist, I'm sorry. And anybody with half an aql can understand that. We are bound by a system, be it internally our desires or be it externally by Allah or by others. We are bound by something. Why not enslave ourselves to that system where the more I bend to him, the higher I get in his eyes? Because he does not need anything from us. Everything we give him, it comes back and reflects us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This limits and unlimited discussion is extremely crucial when it comes to the benefits of the deen. To understand the privilege of what you believe in. Stop searching for the unlimited in this physical world. Everything in this world has limits. Even if it's something that makes you feel very, very happy, that happy is limited. Right? Why not take that happiness and drop it off at the gate of the unlimited, such that what? He exists and that happiness exists as well. It's vital. It's important. It's the teardrop that I often say many times to my youth, that a rain drops from the sky and that rain wishes to what? To be a raindrop forever. I don't want to cease to exist. Nobody here wants to not exist. And that raindrop also doesn't want to exist. So what does it do? It finds an ocean to drop itself into. It falls from the sky. It falls in the ocean. The ocean remains. The rain, the drop of rain exists as well. Or it can drop itself on a hot pavement. Within seconds, it's evaporated and nobody even knows Bachar that he came from the clouds. No idea. It was raining. Same idea. We can either choose to live our life in this limited world. When this is gone, we're also gone with it. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everything will perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجِلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Surah Rahman. The only thing that's baqi is the wajh and the essence of Allah. Take our a'mal, take our deen, take our faith, and drop it in the ocean of Allah. He's baqa, and ourselves also become baqa as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our qaleel ibadat, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to really give us that tawfiq to accept these difficult concepts and bring about certainty inside of our deen. We ask you, Allah, to protect our next generation and their iman and their aqidah in this part of the world. We ask you, Allah, that we are approaching the middle month, the mid portion of the month of Ramadan, to accept our forgiveness, accept our amal, forgive us of our sins and those of our parents. And finally, Allah, so much bloodshed, tyranny in Yemen and Bahrain, all over the world. We ask you, Allah, to hasten the reappearance of Imam Zamana and to make us beside him during his mission.